From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin. We'll start with the three earthquakes that have rattled the Irving area in as many days. The first and largest was Saturday night, a 3.3 on the Richter scale, centered near the old Texas Stadium site. Smaller quakes followed nearby, a 2.5 Sunday and a 2.3 this morning. Julie Dutton at the U.S. Geological Survey says Saturday's 3.3 made the significant earthquake list on the USGS website, but is only considered a minor event.
When you get into the magnitude 5 range, you're dealing with, you know, significant damage and possibly injuries.
No damage or injuries have been reported, only an overload of Facebook and Twitter posts.
To have three in a row is a little more unusual in the grand scheme of things, but it's not unheard of to have a little cluster of earthquakes.
Over the past few months, the USGS has registered more than half a dozen small quakes in that same area, not far from a University of Dallas gas well. Dutton, however, cautions against a rush to blame drilling or injection wells. She says investigating the cause is a difficult, ongoing job. A year after the launch of the Affordable Care Act, more than 500,000 Dallas County residents still lack health insurance. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, city and county officials joined the Health and Human Services Secretary today at Parkland Hospital.
New HHS Secretary Sylvia Burwell knows last year's introduction of the first health insurance enrollment was sick from the start. She's been working to fix it and says these days it's running better.
In 1 year alone in our nation, 10.3 million adults are no longer uninsured, and a number of those are here in Texas, and a number of those are here in this very city, and we want to build on that record, and that's what we're here to talk a little bit about today.
The number of uninsured in Dallas is among the highest in Texas, says Mayor Mike Rawlings. At close to 600,000, what he describes as six sold-out AT&T stadiums, that's unacceptable. He wants to build on last year's enrollment figures when locally, 215,000 people signed up for health insurance.
By the way, my son was one of those. Last year we talked about it. He was uninsured, was an independent contractor, and he got online and bought himself a plan. That's the way you start in life.
Rawlings stressed that healthy residents make for a healthy city. He borrowed a pitch he recalled from the 1970s. The TV ad man was selling oil wells.
And it was like, what type of town do you sell oil in? And if you don't have a plan, get one, okay? That's the message we're trying to give out.
Enrollment in the second year of the Affordable Care Act just opened, and it runs through February 15th of 2015. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For the last 4 years, thousands of attorneys in Texas have provided free legal help to more than 13,000 veterans and their spouses. The program is run by the nonprofit Texas Lawyers for Texas Veterans, and KERA's Dwali Saikautau visited a legal clinic run by the Tarrant County chapter.
It's another busy afternoon as vets gather on the second floor of a student center at Tarrant County College's South Campus. In the crowd is a very pregnant Erin Yazel, who served in the U.S. Air Force.
The most nerve-wracking part was getting the information verified because you're not sure what's going on and how many people are going to be here.
She's a single mom about to have a second child, and, well, she's concerned about her delivery.
When I was active duty, there was always a juggler that was there. And now it's like, I don't have money to pay for this, and all I have is questions right now. Because I thought, do I need to redo my will? Like, I have to do a whole new one?
Like many service members, she had no idea where to start. And she says, truthfully, she didn't know this program existed. Texas Lawyers for Texas Veterans is an all-volunteer group with almost no money to advertise its services.
It's disheartening because we're like, we've been here 4 years.
Fort Worth attorney Alid Rivera helped to establish the Tarrant County chapter. She says different from clinics in other counties, a vet, regardless of income, can walk in and get a free 20 to 30 minute consultation.
They put themselves and their family in the line for each one of us. And to me, it hits home. My father was one, my grandfather was one, my father-in-law is one. You see, as you grow up, the struggles that they have to go through. Sometimes they just need you to tell them where to go.
Volunteer attorneys like Jeff Whitfield of Kelly Hart and Hallman has helped vets with bankruptcy, divorces, commercial litigation, and more.
I bet if somebody analyzed our cases, they'd have a great commentary on the economy.
Whitfield is a veteran too. He served as an officer in the Air Force and in 1996 witnessed a deadly terrorist attack in Saudi Arabia.
I think about the young people that I served with, and they come in and they look like their world is about to end. In a very simple conversation, you can give them comfort, you can give them hope. The legal system is not out to hurt people, it's out to give structure to society, and that if you find the right help, you can deal with anything you face.
Dan Mooney was once a homeless veteran with a criminal record.
I had a possession of a controlled substance, which means if it was in my possession, I was probably possessing it in some form or another. And yeah, I was addicted to drugs at the time.
He described himself as a functioning addict. 20 years ago, his case was dismissed, but it remained on his record, making it hard to get a job. Through Texas Lawyers for Texas Veterans, he got his record expunged. And now he's hoping to get into law school to help other veterans. Dua Li Saikau Tao, KERI News.
In Dallas, custom roasted coffee and the coffee shops that serve it have flourished over the last 5 years. Last week's Dallas Observer's cover story explored that local scene, and Justin Martin sat down with Liz Golding, who profiled area roasters.
Liz Golding, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What's the difference between what these specialty shops offer versus your normal shop?
Several things, but in the big picture, it's quality over quantity, right? So everything from the way the bean is grown and processed at the point of origin in another country to the way that the roaster spends time and effort roasting, and then the way that the barista takes time to prepare it.
Does the coffee generally have a richer taste?
Specialty coffee will be more complex. So often those types of beans are grown at a higher altitude, so they grow more slowly, and you end up with a more complex flavor. And so these roasters, really what they're trying to do is get out of the way so you can taste the flavor of the bean underneath instead of a more carbonized roast flavor.
So other than the storefronts, you mentioned places that are dedicated to just roasting coffee beans. What's their approach to roasting a superior bean?
So when they're roasting, they're thinking about not only temperature, but also the smell and the color of the bean as it's roasting and how those things change over time. So depending on the roasting curve there, you can end up with a dramatically different bean flavor.
Walk us through this roasting process. What's it take to go from green beans to this final product?
There are a lot of hands that touch a cup of coffee. There's the farmer on the ground that grows the coffee. An agricultural worker or the farm employee picks it, and they have to pick it at just the right time. And then it gets processed on the farm. After that, it has to age. And then the bean shows up at the roastery. They put it in the roaster. You know, the things that they do with each bean, it all varies. And it can vary on a given day. So you're looking at time and temperature, but you could end up with a different product depending on humidity, depending on ambient temperature. So they roast, and then they let it sit for a couple days. And then usually they will cup the coffees that they're roasting just to make sure that they're tasting kind of on the level that they want them to be. And then it'll go out either in their shop or to the person at home who then gets to brew it how they like it.
Why all this effort? I mean, is the coffee crafted from these places, which most people flood with creamer and sugar and other fillers, really all that discernible from a cup of Folgers or, say, some Starbucks?
I think if you taste it black, you really can tell a difference. As someone who isn't a coffee roaster but has grown into drinking her coffee black, I can taste a difference. But it took time. You know, it's kind of like people that drink wine or drink beer. The more you drink it, the more you kind of practice, the more you're able to taste those differences.
Liz Golding's article on the specialty coffee boom in Texas appeared in the latest Dallas Observer. Thanks for being here.
Thanks a lot.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.